IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to I'm Atta, the host of this program. Please accept our condolences on behalf of me, Mr. Mahmoud, the producer of the program Viewpoints, and all the staff of Call of Islam Radio. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Muhammad Khani and Sayyid Mohsen Naghwi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Well, welcome to the show, and Sheikh Muhammad Khani, assalamu alaykum wa
rahmatullah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. It's an honor to be here.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the proper and standard ways and methods of doing the mourning processions and the rituals done for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam during the month of Muharram based on the speeches and thoughts of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, we can say supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. During the month of Muharram, especially the 10 days of the mourning processions and the rituals, you could see that the bazaars, I mean, the markets are closed. For example, the people are in the streets wearing black colors or putting a black flag, you know, on the entrance of the houses. And these, we can say, mourning processions are done in groups. People are coming, especially going to the holy places like a holy shrine or Imamzadas or the holy Muslims are doing that. And these mourning rituals are there. We cannot delete it from the Shiite legacy for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't it true, Sayyid?
Yeah, that's true. Obviously, in the Quran, we have a verse, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Mm-hmm. Whoever respects the slogans and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed, in this respect, there is a, you know, taqwa of the hearts. Mm-hmm. And for surely, because Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam and Ahlul Bayt are from the Sha'air Allah, they are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way Mecca and Safa and Marwa is the from mm-hmm. the Sha'air Allah. The way the Zamzam or Kaaba is the mm-hmm. Sha'air Allah. This is why, because, you know, Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam has reformed the nation. Yes. Imam Hussain has revived the true Islam.
Yes.
Therefore, he became the Sha'ir Allah. We have in the ziyarats as well, Ya Thar Allah wa Ibn Tharihi, mm-hmm. the blood of Allah and mm-hmm. the son of blood of Allah.
Okay.
Similarly, those things that has the most respect in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has referred them as something to himself,
mm-hmm.
like Wajhullah, Aynullah,
oh.
my eye.
Great.
Okay. My hand, my face, my home. For Imam Hussein, it is said, Ya Thar Allah, the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
The blood that was shed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the land of Karbala, Allah, the Aima alayhi salatu has said, like, this is the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wabna Tharahi, Wabna Thar Allah. Because the blood of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was also in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this blood, it costs, it's so precious that it becomes the blood of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the actual blood, but it's related to. So it shows the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly, because Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, or the struggle that he had, this was for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, in the Quran, Allah has said, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ.
That's right.
So this respect that we have, mm-hmm. these 10 days when we close our, you know, the markets, the people are mourning.
Yes.
They are remembering Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay. This remembrance is actually remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
They distribute because, food or religious
yes.
vows among the people.
We distribute food in the month of
yeah.
Muharram. There are many people who do not have food. You know, they are fed, obviously, at
yes.
this time.
In this time.
There is no one who can, you know, sleep hungry
mm-hmm.
in the days of Muharram,
okay.
even if he is not Shia,
okay.
especially, you know, in the eastern countries
yes.
where we have, like, for example, India, Pakistan
yes.
or the other countries
yeah.
that we have, Bangladesh,
yes.
there we have other people. Maybe there is a Hindu, there is a Christian, there is a Sunni
mm-hmm.
Who cannot, you know, have food, but, you know, they come to the Muharram,
the majalis, of
the majalis. Even if they don't attend at the time when, you know,
oh.
they distribute food, they're
okay.
coming. No one stops them.
Oh.
Why is it? It is in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah. That's all right. But at the same time, if you want to give the proper standards
mm.
for doing the azadari or mourning processions and rituals for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, then, for example, these latam or rozakhani or something like that is an inseparable part of that. Because usually the processions are done, you know, the people are coming and going, you know, they debar the flags, okay, or there's something like that. So, some people might say that these are not the original rites and rituals which were done, or there is no, for example, hadith or any authentic proof in order to do that.
Yeah.
But they are done, and they we can say, revive the true legacy of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. How to correct these rituals, brother?
So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to look at whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to correct some of these rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So if some of these rituals are actually beneficial and effective in us reaching that goal which we aim for, is to make people familiar with the teachings of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, why change them?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at the rituals that are not helping us achieving the goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the rituals that we should filtrate and get rid of by time, of course. But not every ritual. It's not like we should get rid of all the rituals that not necessarily mentioned explicitly in the narrations. No, it's not like that. As long as they are not in contradiction to the teaching of Ahlul Bayt, like some rituals are, like Wahan Bidin and so on, they defame the religion and make people disgust about the religion.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But if that's not the case, and in fact, no, the impact, the positive impact, the positive effect, it's much greater than certain individuals that may be making fun of these individuals or not, then I don't think we should get rid of them.
Okay.
So I think we should categorize the different rituals and see what kind of rituals that are actually beneficial to achieve that goal that we are looking for.
Okay.
And I think that some rituals by itself have proven themselves over time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like shedding tears and poetry.
Yes.
Yeah, just get to give some good examples. Like for 1,400 years, and the programs and the majalis has just become bigger, and a lot more people have become more familiar with the teachings of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam through the emotions that are being stirred up. And even if you look at the narrations, they're not talking about emotions not being stirred.
Yes.
In fact, they're talking about, for example, hararatan fi qulub al-mu'minin la tabrad abada, for example. It talks about a harara, or some sort of a fire within the heart of the mu'minin, of the believers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a source of energy, and we shouldn't neglect that fact.
That's right.
We just have to make sure that we point that sort of energy towards the right things, right?
That's
right. We guide it towards the right things or the right goal. And we can do that through different rituals. Whatever ritual that actually helps us achieve that goal, we embrace it. And whatever ritual that doesn't, what is it called, not effective in us reaching that aim or that object,
right,
then it's, we should filtrate it out, for example, like throughout over time.
Especially when you look at some of the Shiite lands, you know, for example, they do Nohakhani, you know, these lamentations or recitations of the laments, or, you know, elegies for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or with referring to really, we can say, rich poems, which are really fruitful. For example, Muhtasham Kashani, the famous one, باز این چه شورش است که در خلق عالم است، باز این چه نوحه و چه عزا و چه ماتم است. Okay. Artistically, when you look at the poem, it's really rich in terms of rhythm, in terms of the words chosen. We have it also in other languages too.
Yeah.
I think in the it is Mir Anis, I think, which has written in the English language. Okay, so an Urdu language, yeah. So
he wrote Mercy Allah. He has
the Mercy Allah things. So many of the Christians also have written some pieces of poetry about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the mercies. Through which we can learn many lessons. I mean, this is the point. And in Iran, for example, when you look at some of the provinces of Iran, they have their own style of Rozakhani and Nohakhani for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Different styles of, for example, chest beating, which is the wahed, which is the shur, which is the sangin, okay?
Yeah.
The heavy one, these are the separate styles. They are doing that very beautifully, you know? And we look at the rhythm and listen to the poems which are written, our intellect and passion are over there. Can you name some of the specific rituals which are done, for example, in Pakistan or India, Sayyid?
Well, in the
which are specific to your own culture.
Well, in the Pakistan and India, obviously, we have different cultures. Mm-hmm. For example, for every, we can say, province, there's a different. For mm-hmm. example, the Punjabis in the Pakistan, okay. they have different rituals, mm-hmm. which is different from what they do like in Sindh, for oh. example.
Okay.
Generally, you know, the majalis, they start with the Quran and the Marsiya.
Okay.
And after that, there's a proper lecture or yes. sermon. Or maybe, you know, if there is no scholar, then we have these khutaba or mm-hmm. dhakirin who okay. come and who in the form of poetry, they recite mm-hmm. the things. And after that, obviously, there is a noha. But the main thing is, you know, in some places, obviously, we have seen that, especially in this interior scene, that there are some Sunni people mm-hmm. who come out with the drums.
Okay.
On the day of Ashur, mm-hmm. and I have seen this, and they beat this drum mm-hmm. as a victory of Imam Hussein over Yazid.
Oh,
they come in the remembrance of Imam Hussein. Okay. Yeah, they have this specific, and they're like they're known as Sufis as well, mm-hmm. like some of the Sufis. But in the interior scene, we can see these kind of things.
Okay.
On the other hand, obviously in Iran, when you look like you know in Iran, Iraq, they have these drums and all
yes.
those. This does not exist in Indo-Pak, oh, except those specific, okay. you know, groups of the Sunni.
What
Sunni.
About chain beating, or there is a chain or something like that with the we can't say, very soft beating on the back or something like that?
Yeah,
or put, for example, a soil on the forehead or something like that? Do you have such rituals? You can't
well, obviously, when they beat chain, they have the blades at the end, obviously, oh, the knives and the blades, which is tatbir.
Okay,
which is,
tatbir.
Which is forbidden.
That's a forbidden one, okay.
But obviously, yes. It was there and has 100 years old, mm-hmm. you know, history okay. over there. But apart from that, obviously, people, they obviously, you know, they participate. There's a lot of money which has been spent on the tabarruk, you know, the food oh. and the drink, which has been distributed amongst the people.
Okay.
And obviously, there are different things in different cultures we yes. can see.
But people are different and the people's understanding is different. For example, when you have an illiterate population
yeah.
as the people who are on the minbar listening to you, you cannot talk philosophically about the, for example, true message of Imam yeah. Hussein alayhi salam. I mean, your way into their mind must be very much different, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I think one of the areas where we should accept diversity to a certain extent, this is the area, right? Mm-hmm. The diversity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepted for human beings.
Yes.
In other words, that there's certain individuals, they're in different levels of knowledge, they're
yes.
different levels of intellectual,
yes.
like the intellectual stage are different.
Yes.
So you can't really put everyone in the same bowl or mm-hmm. As we say in Farsi.
Yeah.
But the same applies when it comes to, for example, even rituals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, diversity is embraced here as long as it doesn't contradict Islamic teachings, yeah. right?
Okay.
If people want to read poetry in Urdu, for example, or read poetry in Arabic, Farsi,
yes.
I don't know, Danish, English, whatever you can
yes,
think
yes.
of,
okay.
we should embrace that diversity as long as the aims and the goals are being achieved without us compromising our Islamic
okay.
teachings, right? So I think that's... And we should be very careful because this is one of the areas where we become very stubborn and a bit sensitive, because normally when we talk about diversity, we
okay.
talk about the diversity in the Western
yes.
context, where all sorts of corruption are being
mm-hmm.
Legitimized and completely justified through that concept of diversity,
okay.
where true diversity is being put aside and put under the rug, like, for example, this type
yes,
of diversity,
yes.
which
yes.
is beautiful.
Yes.
And it should be there. So I think we should let people have that diversity. And when we visit different communities, I've personally taken that approach myself.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things or rituals maybe I don't understand within the certain cultures of Shia Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they don't contradict the Islamic teachings and at the same time are reviving the true message of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, who am I to come and pass a judgment based on the
yes.
way that I was raised myself, as long as it doesn't contradict the Islamic teachings?
Okay.
So this is one of the places where we should embrace diversity, if you ask me, as long as it doesn't...
Can you remember any Danish poetry about Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
Yeah, we have Danish poetry about Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
What is it? Can you read that for us?
No,
English?
I'm not. I'm
just
very,
one.
I'm very bad at poetry,
okay.
so I'm better at lecturing.
Okay.
So
in the Danish language?
I let the poets
okay.
talk, recite the poetry, inshallah, and I recite the lectures.
Okay, that's right. Thank you very much. Okay, thank you much, Sheikh. It was very You're kind welcome. Of you, Sheikh Muhammad Khani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. It was very kind of proper understanding of the morning rituals done for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam during the month of Muharram. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us in another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Allahumma ja'al mahya ya mahya Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I swear to Allah, you have shown us so much courage through the pain. You sacrificed your family and were guilt thirsty, oh Hussein.